Godfrey says, "When will you be God free?" The choice to be God free is always within the eternal now, because freedom manifests through a series of decisions where we are guided and goaded to unleash from within ourselves the God light of our true selfhood. If we choose every moment to be in the light of God's presence, then we are free in that moment, and every free moment connected to every other free moment creates the stream of freedom that we desire to live within, in eternality. Yet, if in any moment we are less than free because we have chosen to enthrone the lesser self rather than the divine self, then those unfree moments interrupt that stream and dam the flow of the radiance of freedom within us. The choice is always now to be free in God. And if we choose every moment to incorporate the divine light into our life and to enjoy that, to revel in it, and yet not to get too caught in the human revelry of it, we will experience those intimate moments with God in the light that nurture our souls, that feed our inner being, and that do then result in that lasting, that eternal state of being, which is freedom. Beingness in God is freedom. Being outside of God is slavery. We always have a choice whether to incorporate God in our lives and therefore to be free in the presence of God's eternal light, or to shrink into the shadows of that which is separate from God, which may be enjoyable to the human temporarily, yet which has no lasting reality. It has no essence of divinity because it is a chimera. It is illusion, Maya. The things of this world are mayic in origin because they are not born of the everlasting life of divine permanence. Yet, even in this world, as a launching point for our soul to strive and yearn for union with God, we can unshackle ourselves so that we are not grasping for straws, we are accepting what God gives and offers as a beautiful light field of that beingness. When we enter beingness within our presence, we are free to pursue the divine plan, the blueprint of our life that was fashioned from eternal substance in the beginning of our spirit. And then we are fulfilled within that divine blueprint, moving forward, ever upward in the light. If we rail against that which God created us as a son or daughter of light, if we would rather be something else, then we will discover through the great rounds and manvantaric ages of existence outside of the inner circle of God's being that it is not the greatest pathway, and that we can desire to be warmed by the fires of God's heart, close to God, one with God, rather than living on the periphery where things are cooled down, and then if we don't warm up and get closer, we get cold. The timing of our self-discovery is important. And meeting cycles when cycles speak to us of our God self-realization are important. And we plan our lives upon earth so that we will have these opportunities to meet the people with whom we must interact to balance our debts to life so that we can be free. If we have these debts, we cannot be fully free. Our ledger will always be imbalanced with too much debt and not enough assets. If we give and we love and we serve and we sacrifice, we create the assets which will counterbalance those debts and eventually lead to perfect harmony and union with God. Those who would rather surfeit themselves in pleasure know not the joy of self-discovery through sacrificial giving and employing the inner gifts of spirit and a constancy of givingness which leads to freedom. Now, we've all experienced the lesser states of being in this and past lives, where pleasure dominated our being, and where we were not in that stream of cosmic ideation and blessedness and the beauty and harmony of the Edenic life. Yet it got tired, and as prodigal sons and daughters, we came to that outer point of the periphery of our existence outside of that inner circle, and we finally said, this does not serve me anymore. I don't feel validated as who I am. And so we began the search, we began the climb, we began the holy return to oneness. And as initiates, we are accelerating that return so that we in turn can invite our fellow light workers to join us in this cosmic enterprise and raise the vibration of the earth and assist souls who are in the process of going through their metamorphosis and their resurrection and ascension. The timing of our self-discovery is crucial. And if we are focused in the present moment on God throughout our day, we will receive inspirations and intuitional blessings that will help us to maintain on the straight and narrow path that pure, directed journey to the sun. We all require rest and reprieve. And this is why we sleep at night, to be rejuvenated. Yet even in the state of oneness, through givingness and love and service, and the new type of sacrificial giving, not the old type, which was to create an altar and slay animals on it, this is just the offering of self. This is the true type of sacrifice. Even in this, we are served by the divine hand. When we give, we receive. When we serve, we are served by the angels, the cosmic masters, the divine beings. It is a law that whatsoever we sow, we shall reap, because this is what balances the cosmos. If it were not so, the cosmos would be a kilter and we would have complete chaos, and there would be complete destruction. To balance the cosmos, we have to understand the laws of unity within us, the shadow self, the real self, resolving the conflict, and actually coming into the unity field of beingness where there is no more duality. There is no more good and evil from the human vantage point. There is only good with a capital G, which is light, beauty, and God's graces. Yet from the human vantage point, the turning of this dualistic state within our sphere of being no longer holds sway because we are tethered to that point of pure light of our presence. So when will we be free? Every moment that we choose God, that we choose life, that we choose love and light, because that point of time and space where we choose the blessedness of God is really the point of unlimited divine power, wisdom, and love. We tap into God, and in that moment we are free, and then we live in that freedom. We can't choose today to be free tomorrow because tomorrow hasn't happened, right? We have to choose now to live in freedom, and then because of our right choices today, tomorrow, we may maintain that state of freedom. So if you have an issue with a habit pattern that you would like to have dissolved, don't make a projection and say, well, tomorrow I'm going to exercise or choose a right diet, but right now I'm going to just let it all hang out. You know, because the choice now is the choice where you make the change, the transformation. Every choice allows the eternal to abide where you are when that choice is for and in God. Yes, we may have our treasure maps, our vision boards, and our alchemies that we are working on, and they are great because the way time and space on earth works, we have to connect all these days, and we can't do everything in one day or everything in one hour. Yet, even within this day and this hour, if we are focused with laser-like concentration on the divine, we draw such a tremendous energy field of this power of the presence that in the twinkling of an eye, can transform us. And we are free from our past. Would you be free from your past?
Yes.
Okay, what of your past do you not desire any longer? You don't have to say it. We all have been there, right? So don't even go there in your thought process to consider all the things of your past, the dramas of your past that have not served you any longer, because going there in consciousness recreates it. I've had many, many discussions with heart friends, and this is David speaking now, not Godfrey, where people like to revolve the past and bring up these traumas, these issues, these dramas with relatives and people that have wronged them, abused them, you name it. And what are they doing? They're not living in the now of their presence. They're recreating the past. And I've done it myself, I know. So if we choose the eternal now and to be focused on the light, that light will be so bright that it consumes the edge of the emotional charge of the past so that it has no more sway over you. It cannot entrap you and keep you bound to that matrix that you temporarily allowed yourself to live within, which you now choose to let go of and release and transmute, right? So you may hear me on behalf of your higher self, on behalf of my higher self, our higher selves, chide you a little bit if you start revolving the past and recreating things or talking about someone in a negative way. They may have acted that way before, but they may not be that way today. They may have improved and you don't know what's going on in their mind, their heart, their being. So don't judge and recreate your perception of them as imperfect or dark or whatever, because God's grace may have just found them and they're saved, you know, in Jesus or somebody else's presence, right? And you don't know it. So give them the benefit of the faith, you know. Give them the benefit of the faith, not the doubt, the faith. And allow them to be who they are, unencumbered by your perception or matrix that you project over them. Because your matrix of someone else is imperfect is a binding force to you more than to them, right? And forgiveness frees us more than the other person. So forgive and hold the field of perfection and beauty and harmony and grace for every person, especially your parents, your children, your spouse, heart friends, co-workers, because this is where the action is. Close to home. Close to home. The people that rub us the worst, if we want to classify it, are the people that we have the closest associations with. Right? Because we know them so intimately and we love them so much, and when we feel like they're doing something that doesn't serve us or they don't understand in that moment, oh boy, all the fire of our inhumane self seems to come out of the solar plexus and we say things that we regret. Or we think things, and if we have a little more control, we still think them, but we may bite our tongue. And we have to get to the point where we don't even think them. We just let it go right through us. If somebody does something like have too many spoons on the table, it's just, you know, we just let it go right through us. I mean, it's okay. Give them more spoons. Play pick up spoons instead of pick up sticks, you know, and have fun and make it a game. Or, in my case, you know, I love to position things on the kitchen counter in a certain way so everything's geometric and beautiful. And then somebody comes and puts them away and, oh, there's my fun gone. Now, so we all have our little habit patterns and our pet peeves. So put your pet peeves right here in a row, right in front of you right now. All your pet peeves, okay? These are binding, limiting, non-freedom matrices, your pet peeves, because they bring out the worst in you and the reactivity in you, right? So put them all in front of you right now. Okay, now take out a bazooka or a flamethrower or something, you know, or if you like a Kuan Yin, you know, a straw with, you know, like violet flowers coming out of it, that's fine. I'm a man, you know, I grew up playing war when I was a kid, so the bazookas and the flamethrowers are kind of neat. And just dissolve those pet peeves, okay? Just let them be gone. And feel the freedom that comes because you realize that they are no longer serving you. Now, what are we going to replace them with? The antithesis of the pet peeve, which is something beautiful and amazing that you now relish and enjoy in other people that you consciously supplant those pepis with heaven's graces. And it's a conscious choice. Now, those are the things that you have pepis about other people. Now we're going to go deeper inside of ourselves. What are the things that about ourselves that bug ourselves? Where we self-criticize, where we judge ourselves. Maybe the way our body looks, we're losing our hair, or it's turning gray, or those are just the really outer things. Now we're going to go deeper. What are the things about maybe the feelings we have that other people in our lives have said things about us and we've actually believed them, or they've gone into our subconscious and we actually haven't done the inner work to dissolve what other people have said that we actually now believe about ourselves. So let's work on these and do song 100, heal with Ho'oponopono, to actually root out these self-limiting subconscious patterns which are absolutely unreal. They are not you, they are not part of you, and you don't deserve to have them anymore in your aura or in your subconscious, right? You don't deserve it, because we're here to be free today. And Godfrey's sharing this alchemy so we can look squarely at some aspects of our lives and really choose now to be free. So this powerful alchemical prayer and song, when you truly understand the dynamism of it, is so phenomenal that in 5 or 10 or 20 minutes, you can actually help another person to be free, and you can actually free yourself. The alchemy, though, is inside of you. When you work on yourself, you help both yourself and the universe. We're not going to dwell on these negative self-talk things. We're just going to observe them temporarily enough to then let them go and to free ourselves from them. Okay, so here we go. Just take a moment to pause and consider what you would like to permanently release, have transmuted, and never again speak about or be part of yourself. And then, with all the love of all the masters in heaven, through these four sacred phrases, I love you, I am sorry, please forgive me, thank you, we're just going to let them dissolve into nothingness. So here we go.